is M88.
Strange objects in the sky. Odd stories of abduction and unusual experimentation. What is going on in today's world that has people believing that not only UFOs are real, but that they're visiting our planet and perhaps taking away some of the citizens of our world to experiment on? We've all heard the stories, we've all heard the unexplainable phenomenon, but what's really going on with UFOs and aliens and extraterrestrials? Well, that's what we're going to explore tonight on Raw Talk. Good evening. My name's Yo, your host here on Raw Talk, where we want to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think. And tonight, we're going to think a little bit about UFOs. Earlier this month, in Roswell, New Mexico, they celebrated 60 years of the Roswell incident. It was back in 1947 when that strange happening took place on a local farm out in the middle of nowhere. The government said it was just a weather balloon, and yet stories have continued throughout the decades that something unusual took place, something not of this world, and that the government has been covering it up ever since. And now they've turned it into a festival in Roswell, New Mexico. In fact, they're even thinking of doing a theme park with a roller coaster ride that would simulate being abducted by aliens. Now, why anyone would want to go on a ride that would simulate being abducted by aliens, I don't know. It just seems a little too probing to me for any sort of enjoyment. But the plans are going ahead for that. You know, and that just shows how acceptable this whole UFO phenomenon has become. It's no longer something that people whisper about in secret, thanks to shows like The X-Files and other things. It has become very in vogue to be curious about UFOs and alien abductions. And so we're going to try and get a different perspective on that tonight. If you have questions or you have comments, we want to hear what you have to say. 505-338-5790 as we talk about the UFOs and the Bible. Our special guest tonight, Dr. Ron Rhodes, an author of several books, also an apologist and a very well-studied man. He has a new book coming out called, I believe it's called 10 Things You Need to Know About Islam. And actually, we'll be talking to him about that book as we get closer to 9/11. He also wrote a book on ghost mediums and psychic phenomenon. And he also wrote a book called Alien Obsession, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. So, Dr. Rhodes, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Certainly appreciate you sharing your time with us.
Oh, thanks. It's a pleasure.
Now, like I was saying, Dr. Rhodes, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this observation, but it seems that this whole fascination with extraterrestrials, UFOs, and aliens has become much more acceptable in our culture than it used to be. You know, there was a time where it wasn't something that you would talk about necessarily if you knew anything about it, because people might think that you're weird or kind of nerdy or, you know, whatever. And yet, as we've progressed into the 21st century, it seems almost acceptable, both scientifically and culturally, to have a certain amount of obsession with extraterrestrials. As we discover more planets in the universe and get closer to finding planets that may or may not be able to sustain life, this idea of life elsewhere in the universe has become a question that's on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. Now, you wrote your book, Alien Obsession, back in 1998. How has the culture changed when it comes to UFOs and whatnot since you wrote that book?
Well, I think it has become increasingly acceptable to many people. And one of the things that I've noticed is even academics are getting into this.
Yeah.
In fact, there's over 300 academics right now who are studying this issue in detail. And one book was put out by a Harvard psychologist. It was a guy by the name of John Mack. And he actually documented some abduction experiences that people have had, allegedly. And so when you have Harvard people working on it, and when you've got 300 different academic scientists that are looking into it, I mean, that does show that people are pretty interested. And that's aside from the general public.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the stats differ a little bit. Somewhere between one-third and two-thirds are firmly convinced that, something happened at Roswell and that the government's covering things up and, you know, so forth. You've heard all the stories.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm really excited about talking about this with you tonight, and I also want to hear what people have to say about this. So give us a call, 505-338-5790. If you got questions or comments,
Now, we don't want to hear your ghost story, okay? If you have some weird story about, I don't know, it's taken away, green light, la, la, la. You know, we're not here to confirm necessarily anyone's ghost stories. But if you have a sincere, legitimate question that you would like to ask, give us a call, 505-338-5790. What's the deal with UFOs and the Bible? Now, let me ask you, Dr. Rhodes, how has what's been happening in the arena of science affected the general public's viewpoint when it comes to UFOs? Because we have discovered many planets outside of our solar system, which, you know, even a decade ago was something that was a little hard for people to imagine. Now there's several hundred planets have been documented outside of our own solar system, elsewhere in the universe. They even think they found a quote-unquote super Earth, larger than our planet, but looks like it might have the right elements to sustain life. And that has a lot of people excited. So how has all this science kind of lent its legitimacy to the whole UFO craze?
Well, I think, generally speaking, you know, it used to be that the Earth was considered totally unique. And scientists, you know, weren't really aware of any other planets out there like the Earth, and therefore there was a lot of doubt about life on other planets. However, you're right in pointing out that that's changed. In fact, today it's believed by scientists that conceivably there are virtually millions of Earth-like planets out there in the billions of galaxies, and so scientists reason that surely some of those planets must be inhabited by life forms like us. And, you know, in terms of arguing against the possibility of life on other planets, these days you pretty much get scoffed at.
Yeah.
You know, people might make cutting remarks at you if you say that you don't believe in life on other planets. But, you know, so far, despite all of the scientific effort in this regard and despite the efforts of SETI, you know, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Right.
There's been nothing in terms of intelligent life forms. You know, there have been speculations about very low life forms on Mars and different planets, and they've speculated maybe asteroids or meteors or something have carried some of these, you know, ancient life forms to different planets, and that's all it is, really, speculation. But in terms of intelligent life out there, so far there's been zero. And as you may know, I mean, there's been just a number of suggestions as to why that may be. You know, one of the most popular ones is that they may just be too far away.
Hmm.
In other words, it would take, 100 years if you're traveling at the speed of light just to get here, and nobody can travel that fast. And so, therefore, even though there may be some life forms out there, according to the scientists, they wouldn't be able to get here.
Right.
There's other people who have concluded that maybe there were some intelligent life forms out there, but they blew themselves up. You know, maybe they just got so fascinated with their weaponry that they killed themselves. And then yet another theory is the contemplation theory, and that is the theory that they're not interested in contact. They would rather just stick to themselves and, you know, contemplate their own situations. And so, like I said, there's a number of explanations that some people offer as to why we haven't been contacted. Certainly there is one further viewpoint, and that is the they ain't there theory. You know, that's always a possibility, too. I mean, there's really no evidence that they are out there, but, you know, there are Christians on both sides of this issue.
And that's very interesting. You know, despite the lack of scientific evidence, you still have over 15 million Americans who claim to have seen a UFO. Worldwide, there's about 100 sightings a day. And, you know, down in Roswell, New Mexico, as they celebrated the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, about 35,000 people came to Roswell, almost doubling the size of that community for a few days as they celebrated the Roswell incident in a very festive atmosphere. So despite all the, you know, not certainty in science, it seems like a lot of people are pretty convinced that it's a possibility. We'll talk more about that in just a moment, Dr. Rhodes, but we got a call here. Lorenzo's on the line. Lorenzo, welcome to Raw Talk, and what do you have to say?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a real quick point. If there were aliens out there, wouldn't they, and if they, even if they couldn't make contact with us, don't you think there'd be something in the Bible about it?
Well, that's a very good question. What do you think, Dr. Rhodes?
Well, that is a good question. You know, one of the things that's very interesting about the Bible is that even though the Earth is just an infinitesimal speck of dust in the galaxy and in the universe, in other words, it's a very small planet, Nevertheless, it is presented as the center of activity in terms of God's activities. In other words, Jesus became incarnate on planet Earth. He revealed himself to the prophets on planet Earth. Jesus died on the cross on planet Earth. Jesus is coming again to planet Earth. And one day, Scripture says there's going to be a new heavens and a new Earth. So any way you look at it, even though the Earth is not the center of our galaxy or universe, nevertheless, it's the center of God's plan. Now, I'll tell you something. This is going to really knock you out. There are people who do say the Bible refers to the possibility of aliens out there. And one of the verses that they point to is John 14, verses 1 to 3. And you may remember that in that particular verse, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he tells them, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you." And so, believe it or not, there are some Christians that argue that because there are many rooms, well, there must be room for aliens.
Really?
Now, I just laugh when I hear that because, I mean, that's not really a biblical argument at all, but nevertheless, I've heard that argument quite a number of times.
And it almost sounds like people are expecting heaven to be kind of like the cantina scene from Star Wars, if that were the case.
Yeah, right.
Dun, 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 dun. I don't really see heaven being like that. Lorenzo, I hope that helps you out a little bit. Thanks for calling in, man. All right, thanks a lot. And if you have a question that you'd like to ask Dr. Rhodes as we explore UFOs and the Bible, what should we think about this as Christians? Give us a call, 505-338-5790 for your questions and comments about UFOs and the Bible. What should we think about this as Christians? Should we believe it? Should we not believe it? How do we handle it? 505-338-5790. Give us a call with your questions and comments, and we'll get to those as we go throughout tonight's program. Now, Dr. Rhodes, you brought up, and I thought this was kind of interesting, that there are actually Christians on both sides of this issue, which implies that there's some Christians who are convinced that perhaps there are alien life forms elsewhere in the universe. Now, let me ask you this, and this is not, you know, a dig against anyone who believes that. It's just a question that occurs to me. Is that really compatible with a Christian worldview? What do you think, Dr. Rhodes?
Well, first let me mention that among those who believe that there may be life on other planets is the very famous Billy Graham.
Hmm.
In fact, I'm quoting him here, "I firmly believe there are intelligent beings like us far away in space who worship God, but we would have nothing to fear from these people. Like us, they are God's creation." So in other words, he would say that even though we haven't had contact with them, even though they are aliens, nevertheless they are worshipers of the one true God. Now, there's been a lot of academic discussion about the Christian worldview and aliens, and one of the problems that has come up is this. When man fell, according to the Genesis account, it not only catapulted humanity into sin, but the entire universe was really thrown into, really thrown out of whack, really. In fact, the text of Scripture tells us that the universe was subjected to futility. And therefore, philosophers, Christian philosophers, ask this question. If the entire universe was subjected to futility as a result of human sin, how could unfallen aliens live in that kind of universe, assuming that they had not fallen?
Right.
You know, so the idea being that it wouldn't seem possible philosophically, but nevertheless, that discussion is an ongoing discussion. Certainly there are other things to point out, and that is that, you know, when you read the creation account tells us that God created the various animals and various life forms in terms of plant life and so forth. God created the oceans, the sky, the heavens, the stars, and all of that. And then really the noblest part of God's creation, according to the Bible, is man himself. Now, that's one of the things that Psalm 8 tells us. So man is the noblest part of God's creation, according to Scripture. But maybe that wouldn't be the case if there were also aliens out there. So there are some theologians who speculate from the fact that only man is mentioned as the noblest part of God's creation, that really there are no other life forms, at least intelligent life forms, out there. You know, so Christians really focus on a whole variety of different issues when it comes to this. I do think that, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit later, one of the things that Christians have made note of is the fact that there is a very strong occultic connection between UFO phenomena, particularly in terms of abduction experiences. And, you know, it's typically the case where people who are involved in the occult have an abduction experience. You don't see this really happening among Christians. And so, you know, like I said, maybe we'll have a chance to touch on that because it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, I definitely want to touch on that if we get a chance. There is even that movie that was put out by Rich Cristiano recently called Unidentified, which focused on that very aspect that a lot of people who experience the whole alien abduction syndrome are people who are into occultic practices and therefore perhaps left more vulnerable to what may be happening spiritually. We definitely have to dive into that. Got some calls, though. Let's talk with Chris here. Chris, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Well, you know, I'm wondering if it possible that some of these lights that people are seeing, my wife and I have been driving down the interstate in broad daylight and seeing this unexplainable light, and we attribute it to angelic activity. I mean, the Bible does describe angels as shafts of light, and so that's just my thought on it. You know, is it possible that what people are seeing isn't a UFO as far as alien life form, but it's unidentified to them, and they just take an alien exit instead of attributing it to something godly like an angelic body?
Well, you know, that's certainly a theory that is very common when it comes to the whole UFO phenomenon. What do you think, Dr. Rhodes? Are we seeing aliens entering and leaving our atmosphere when we see these odd lights?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. Honestly, there are just virtually hundreds of possible explanations. And so this fellow's explanation, I suppose, just fits right in there with all the others. But the fact is that we're just speculating. We don't really have hard facts as to what the particular light was that he saw. But I will just make a couple of observations. First of all, there are some things that people see, and they assume it's a flying spacecraft or a UFO. And in many cases, in fact, about half the reports that came in one study, people saw the planet Venus, which people can see during the day. And this planet Venus is so bright that when you stare at it, you know, the human eye is not infallible. It actually tends to see it moving. In other words, you know, they look at Venus, and your eye sort of tricks you into thinking it's moving. And so there's been that. Did you know that there's also 7,000 objects floating around planet Earth?
Yeah.
I mean, there's wrenches and space gloves and pieces of machinery and just all kinds of junk just floating around the planet. And so when the sun hits some of those objects, it lights up very bright. You know, there's also the phenomenon of ball lightning, which you may or may not have heard of. It's a kind of lightning that is oval-shaped, and it can stay and hover above the ground, or it can dart around the sky at great speeds. And if it gets near you, it's been heard to sizzle, and because it emits an electromagnetic force, anything electric dies. And, for example, your car will turn off, kind of like on E.T. So, you know, another possible explanation for some of these sightings is ball lightning, which is very, very common.
Now, do you think at all, though, that any of this could be attributed to spiritual activity?
Oh, sure. In fact, one of the things that I documented in my book is that there's a lot of demonic activity going on. And this is something that's very interesting. There's a scientist by the name of Jacques Vallée, and he is really the counterpart to the scientist that you saw on E.T. I don't know if you remember a French scientist on that movie.
I never was able to sit through the entire thing. I thought it was boring.
Okay. Well, there was actually a French scientist on the movie, and that was based upon a real-life guy by the name of Jacques Vallée. And one of the things that he discovered in his own studies is that whatever these UFOs are, whatever these entities are, it doesn't seem to be coming from outer space, but rather it seems to be an interdimensional space, you know, reality. In other words, it seems to come from another dimension into our own dimension. And certainly that would fit the spiritual theory that, you know, maybe some of this is coming from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, and that's led a lot of apologists to focus on the demonic element.
Hmm. Well, does that help you out at all there, Chris?
Oh, awesome. It brought to light some things I'd never seen or I never knew about, especially the ball lightning. You
right.
know, I don't particularly believe in UFOs, but I
I think that really answers helps answer a lot of questions.
Well, good. Thanks so much for calling in to Raw Talk, Chris. We certainly appreciate your input in tonight's show. You have a great evening, all right?
You too. Thanks a lot, bro.
All right. Take care. And next up, we have Shannon. Shannon, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Well, it kind of follows up what you were just commenting on, and that is, you know, some theorists say that it's demonic activity in the heavens, that they aren't aliens. They're alien to us because they aren't human. But that's one theory, and I just wanted to know what your expert thought about that.
Well, it's very interesting when you look at this demonic aspect. You know, when you start to add up all the evidence, for example, these aliens do communicate with people. It might surprise you to hear this, but there are many New Agers today, New Age psychics, who claim to be in contact with these aliens. Hmm. And what's very interesting is that they never use radios or TVs or, you know, any kind of a broadcast equipment, but rather they always communicate through psychic phenomena and telepathy and stuff like that. Not only that, one of the things that we've noticed is that these entities communicating through New Age psychics always say stuff that goes against the Bible but promotes false doctrine. Hmm. For example, it argues against any idea of man having a sin problem. These beings also say that Jesus was one of them, you know, that Jesus was a hybrid being, half alien and half human. In other words, Mary was impregnated by an alien, and that explains some of his alien powers. You know, I mean, stuff like that just really raises a red flag that ought to give us a clue as to the source of some of this. Now, I want to be very careful. Not everything that's going on is demonic. There's also natural explanations for a lot of stuff that people see out there. And, you know, we need to sort of take a balanced look and, you know, make an accurate diagnosis of each case individually.
Does that help you out, Shannon?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling in. And, you know, Dr. Rhodes, that's a great point, especially for us as Christians, because it can be easy for us to get either too obsessed, you know, with the spiritual side of it and trying to figure out how much of it's demons, how much of it is angels, or, you know, we can get too obsessed with, you know, just discounting everything out of hand and, oh, absolutely not. Nothing out there is going on that's really weird. All I believe is exactly what the Bible says, and everything else is, you know, it can be real easy for us to get a little too obsessed one way or the other instead of taking
a very balanced
approach.
That's a very good point. And one of the things I note in the book is that, you know, there's really, really three possible explanations when people see something up in the sky. Number one, it could be natural phenomena. Number two, it could be demonic spirits. Number three, And I don't want to be a naysayer necessarily, but I need to point this out. Number three is the possibility of deliberate hoaxes. There have been deliberate hoaxes out there. You know, there have been absolute proof that there have been doctored photographs. People have been caught doing the crop circles, you know, stuff like that. And so, you know, that's another possibility that exists, and that's really one of the reasons why I say we need to really investigate and evaluate each case as it comes up, instead of saying that one explanation explains every single occurrence of a UFO.
Well, and I like that because as Christians, we're supposed to be thinking people and not just, you know,
absolutely
taking things one way or the other. We need to reason it through for ourselves, and I like that approach because it encourages us to do just that. Next up, we have Daryl on the line. Daryl, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say?
Hi.
Hi.
I was thinking that, I guess, to use Donald Rumsfeld's phrased absence of proof is not proof of absence. Like, there may not be any references or specific references in either the Old or New Testament about UFOs, but this in itself cannot deny the possibility. As the doctor mentioned, there are potentially billions. Well, there are billions of stars around there, and an ungodly number of those could have planets with intelligent life surrounding them. And I really have a lot of thoughts, but I'm sort of lost it while I was waiting.
Well, just to follow through with what you just said, you know, I think there's a lot of Christians that would agree with what you just said. In fact, I think a lot of the Christians who believe in life on other planets would say just that, you know, that you can't just use an argument from silence and prove something. There are other people who ask the question, you know, if there's not really life on other planets, then why did God make all those planets? You know, why did God make all those stars? That's an interesting question. I think that one of the answers that we might find in Scripture is in Psalm 19, where it talks about how the entire universe shouts the glory of God, and how the voice of the planets and the stars metaphorically praise God who created them. And so even if there isn't life on other planets, I do think that there's a viable explanation as to why God created such a vast universe. And by the way, one of the things that Scripture seems to indicate is that if you're impressed with our present universe, you ain't seen nothing yet, because that same God is creating heaven, you know, where you and I will dwell one day, according to John 14, verses 1 to 3.
And, you know, also, Daryl, it was kind of interesting. When I was in college, one of my assignments when I was taking an astronomy course was to calculate the odds of there being life elsewhere in the universe. Now, I had to do this, obviously, strictly from an evolutionary point of view, but the factors that I had to work into my calculations, and I am not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination, all right? This was just a basic college course that I was taking, but I still found it a very interesting exercise. And just going from an evolutionary standpoint, calculate, okay, first of all, what are the odds that all those other stars out there actually have planets surrounding them? So I had to calculate that. And then out of all those planets, what are the odds that they would be the right distance from a star, that they'd have the right star to support life? And then I had to calculate that they'd be the right distance from the star to support life, and then that they would have the right elements necessary, and that those elements would come together and the right properties soon start life. So all these, you know, things had to happen in just the right quantities and at just the right time and just the right distances, because everything about our planet is so precise. And I came up with an astronomical figure so far as the odds of there being life elsewhere in the universe. And this had nothing to do with my Christian worldview. I was just going with, well, you know what? We have a pretty unique planet, and the odds of that happening again, while there are billions of stars out there, there's so many factors that you have to work into your calculations of life actually occurring that my professor actually thought it was a very interesting figure that I don't remember what it was, but he thought it was very interesting. But, you know, he couldn't argue with how I went about, you know, doing my figures. And that doesn't necessarily reflect my particular viewpoint on whether or not there's life out there in the universe, but I was just going from a purely scientific viewpoint, and it was a very interesting way to go about it. So, you know, when you think of all the factors necessary, it can be very interesting to try and factor all those in and think it's actually going to come out to a possibility of there being life in the universe. Does any of that help you out, Daryl?
Well, actually, I have other points, one of which is in Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah. Then they suggest that there are four ways to interpret, in their case, the Torah, or what in our case would be called the New Testament. You can take it literally, and then there are more esoteric ways. One is numerologically, and ultimately, though, I guess everything comes down to we have to experience it subjectively for ourselves. But it also has to link up with things that are substantiated by other persons who have had, let's say, mystical experiences, or there's broad consensus on physical data as well. I can get, it takes me a long, long time to discuss this matter, but I think we have to be careful about drawing conclusions too easily just from from a textual sense, because it can be manipulated over time. And also, some documents get lost and then found much later.
Well, Dr. Rhodes, what do you think about that so far as being careful textually about how we go about this? Because, you know, that brings up some questions about the reliability of the Bible. I mean, can we really trust the Bible if it omits the idea that maybe with all those other planets out there, that there could be life elsewhere, and maybe they got left out as it was translated over the centuries?
Well, let me say that I am familiar with Kabbalah and the different interpretive methods that are used there. I choose to interpret the Bible as I would read any other literature, and I think that there's a good precedent for that, because Jesus, when he read the Old Testament, read it in a very straightforward way and interpreted it quite literally. Same thing was true with the disciples and with the apostles, and in fact, Jesus, on a number of occasions, demonstrated the proper way to interpret Scripture, so that there would be no confusion on the matter. And so I don't think that from, aside from Kabbalah, the biblical approach is to use what's called the historical grammatical approach, and that's just to read it just as you would read any other literature. And, one of the basic principles of that approach is when the plain sense or the literal sense makes good sense, seek no other sense unless it leads to nonsense. Try to repeat that back to me.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Rhodes. Well, Daryl, we got some other callers that we're going to move on to. So, hey, Dr. Rhodes.
I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, Dr. Rhodes, do you have like an email perhaps that you could, like a website or something where if Daryl has some more questions that he'd like to go in detail?
Yeah, we got a website at ronrhodes.org.
Okay.
RONRHODES.org. And there's a email address there. And certainly I would love to hear from him, and as well as anyone else who's listening. I'm one of those apologists who does actually answer his email.
Very good.
Ron Rhodes?
It's Ron Rhodes, R-O-N-R-H-O-D-E-S dot org. That's O-R-G.
Okay.
And that's the website, and like I said, there's an email address there as well.
Okay. All right, well, thanks again for your time.
It's good to hear from you. Thanks.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks for calling in, Daryl.
Bye now.
All right.
Thanks.
And let's see, next up on Raw Talk, hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello, this is Heather.
Hi, Heather, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, how are you?
Well, what do you have to say for Raw Talk tonight?
Well, I want to say that I do believe in UFOs, but I do not believe in aliens.
Well, that's an interesting distinction. How did you arrive at that conclusion?
Well, we live near an Air Force base and a missile range.
Wow.
And we see lots of unexplained activity in the sky. And I believe that, lots of these UFOs are from experimental aircraft and rocket activity that are, going up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And I think that he uses these disturbances and, weather phenomena and all these different things to mislead and confuse people.
Hmm.
Well, that's a very good point. When I heard you say that, I thought back to some of the black projects. I don't know if you've heard that term, but the term black projects refers to super secret projects that the government is working on. And, they began working on some of these back in the 1950s and 1960s, and that's when a lot of reports for UFOs were just pouring in. And it's also kind of interesting that in the 1990s, the Air Force admitted that, one of the things that they had been doing back in the 1960s is using these jets that fly very high in the atmosphere to spy on the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Back then we had a little Cold War going on. And when you look at this jet from the ground level, it looks like it's almost on fire. I mean, it's just up in the sky, extremely bright. Reflects the sun, and you would swear it was a UFO if you didn't know any better. But one of the things the Air Force said they did was they denied that they had any kind of aircraft like that, and they were doing that purposely to mislead the Russians so that they wouldn't catch on to the fact that they had these super high jets that could do this. But they've now admitted it because, these days we use satellites anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of interesting to see what role that has played in some of the UFO reports that have taken place out there.
And there's certainly still a lot of reports about, what Skunk Works and all these top secret places like Area 51 may or may not be working on so far as the next stealth jet, what sort of technology they're putting into airplanes and stuff. And that leaves a lot that's under, that whole area out there in Nevada, it's a fascinating place. I mean, they know when satellites are flying over. They when people do their projects, everyone else has to stay inside while someone else is doing their project. I mean, they really keep things secret out there. And so certainly that will leave it open for a lot of different interpretations. Heather, thank you so much for your input. I love that. Believe in UFOs, but not aliens. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Now, Dr. Rhodes, let's talk a little bit about the whole UFO alien abduction phenomena and how that connects to the occult. Like we brought up earlier, how a lot of people who are into the occult are often people who seem to be having these experiences. So what's the connection?
Well, there's a very strong connection. You know, typically when people have an abduction experience, they feel like they're being floated upward in the room against their will, and they're taken into a spacecraft where experiments are performed on them. Sometimes they say that painful medical procedures are performed on them, and aliens touch them all over their bodies and sometimes insert instruments into them. Sometimes they do a mind probe where they use telepathy to reach deep into your mind and so forth. I mean, these are the kind of things that we hear about when one of these abductions takes place. But one of the things that's just fascinating is the occultic connection. Researchers have discovered, you know, based upon interviews of people who have been abducted, that they're very common among people involved in Eastern religions like Hinduism and Zen Buddhism and various forms of occultism. For example, people playing with Ouija boards and tarot cards and participating in seances and participating in visiting psychics and mediums and so forth. Those are the people who are typically having abduction experiences. And one of the fascinating things is that the typical description of a, an abduction experience is very similar to what takes place in shamanism. You know, there's an initiation ceremony when a person becomes a shaman or a shaman, in which he goes through this same kind of a mystical experience where he's floated upward and put on a table and encounters all these different things that are being done to him and where instruments are inserted into him. And so, you know, the bottom line is, this would seem to indicate that there is, in fact, an occultic connection. Now, do you remember that Harvard psychiatrist I mentioned a few moments ago?
Not personally, no.
Well, his name is John Mack, and he wrote a book called Abduction. And he talked about a lot of people he interviewed who had abduction experiences. And John Mack, this professor, said that he didn't see any unifying factor that explains why all of these people had these experiences. But one of the things I found interesting is that just about in every single chapter, he talked about how one person was involved in, witchcraft, another person had been involved in divination, another person was into horoscopes and astrology. In other words, all these different people had been involved in some form of occultism. And, you know, that's a pattern that you just can't ignore. One of the things I did in my book was I documented just one case after another of people who have been involved in the occult having these kinds of experiences. And that leads me to believe that, we need to be very cautious about this stuff. One of the reasons I say that is that we've also got documented proof that people who get into this thing, into this UFO phenomena, and, this interest in abductions and so forth, they actually have a greater propensity than the average public of actually getting into occultism and developing psychic powers and stuff like that. So that's a warning for us, I think.
Now, why do you think it would be the case that people who are involved in the occult would have more experiences with, alien phenomena?
Well, I think that the reason for that is that, in fact, it's not truly alien. In fact, it's demonic. Now, before you, deny that possibility, let me just say that Satan is a master deceiver. We know that Satan has the ability to mimic an angel of light, and therefore there are apologists, myself included, who infer from that Satan and his demons also have the ability to mimic an alien if, in the process, millions of people on Earth will be deceived. So I don't believe that when people are having these abduction experiences who've been involved in the occult, that they're actually encountering aliens, but rather they're encountering demonic spirits who are mimicking aliens. And it's very important to understand that when people get involved in occultism, they have a great tendency to have what you might call mystical experiences. In other words, they see things in their mind that aren't really there. And there have been many scientific studies that document this fact, that people involved in various forms of occultism, in their mystical state, they will see things that other people who are not in that mystical state, will see. And so it's very important to understand that I think a lot of this is going on inside the mind of the abductee, you know, the person who thinks that they're being abducted, instead of them being taken somewhere. They think it's real, for sure.
Now,
you know, Satan has that ability to give those kinds of experiences.
Now, you know, having said that, have you heard or read or know about anyone who is a Christian having any sort of abduction experience?
I don't know of any Christian who's had this kind of experience. I do know that there's on record something like 400 abduction experiences that have been halted in the name of Jesus, which is very interesting, because if it was just an alien on some spaceship, I doubt that, you know, that would do anything to stop it. But if it truly was a demonic thing, then certainly it would make sense that the name of Jesus would stop it. Now, the typical story that most of those people give is that they're not really Christians, but when they were growing up, they learned stories about Jesus, just like most other people do. And then during this time of terror, you know, when this abduction starts to take place, they remember Jesus from their childhood, and they call out to him, and that's when the abduction experience ceases. And some of those people have gone on to become Christians after understanding the spiritual reality behind some of this stuff. So, again, I think that even though not all UFO phenomena can be explained spiritually or demonically, you know, like I said, some of it's explained naturally. Nevertheless, we as Christians, I think, need to be aware of the occultic connection that many people have to this stuff. And, you know, there's just too many people on too many continents who are involved in the occult having these experiences for me to say that it's just a coincidence. I mean, there's a real pattern there.
Yeah, that's very interesting that an alien abduction would be stopped in the name of Jesus, because, you know, that would bring up its own questions. Like, really? Aliens have heard of Jesus and they decide anyone who says that name, probably not worth abducting? That brings
well,
up a lot of its questions
it,
its own.
You know, it's not just that, but why would these aliens travel for, you know, hundreds of years to get here at the speed of light just to communicate New Age type doctrines through New Age psychics?
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered about that?
Well, not really, because I thought it was kind of silly myself, so I didn't waste a lot of time thinking about
well,
it.
I mean, surely if there were aliens, I mean, they wouldn't be coming just to do that.
Right.
You know, surely they would have cures for cancer and, you know, all kinds of good stuff for us. But why would they come all this way just to communicate through New Age psychic stuff like, you know, human beings are not sinners and Jesus is one of them and, you know, stuff like that? It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, it really doesn't. We have Cody on the line now. Welcome to Raw Talk, Cody. And what do you have to say?
I would just like to say that in the first chapter of Genesis, it will say the first verse, Genesis 1:1, mm-hmm. that God created the heavens and the earth. And throughout the whole chapter of number one, it says how he makes life on earth and nowhere else.
Well, that is a very
good point. How old are you?
I'm 13.
13. Well, that's great to have a 13-year-old listener.
Yeah, and
it sounds like that you study the Bible a lot. Is that right?
Just usually when I go to church.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, you make a good point there. You're right. That Genesis account talks about stuff on earth. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. But most of that chapter one talks about stuff that God created on the earth. And like I said earlier, the Bible also talks about how one day in the future, God's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. So any way you look at it, it seems like the earth is the center of things from God's perspective.
That's an excellent point, Cody. Thanks so much for calling up and sharing that with us. All right.
Well, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah. Cody, you have a great evening, all right?
Okay, you too.
All
Bye.
Right. Thanks. Bye. 505-338-5790. If you have a question that you'd like to ask about UFOs and the Bible, what do we as Christians need to know about this whole UFO phenomena that's going on all around us? Now, Dr. Rhodes, I'm sure you've probably been asked this at some point, but you know, there's a lot of people who point to that chapter in Ezekiel. The exact chapter escapes me right now, but where it talks about, you know, the lights and the discs and all that type of stuff.
Right.
And they talk to that particular prophetic passage as, oh, see, that's a description of a UFO right there. Well, what do we as Christians do with that when someone throws that in our face?
Well, that is a good question, because I think that's one of the things you've seen on some of the Steven Spielberg movies, you know, that passage talks about a windstorm and flashing lightning and a brilliant light and glowing metal and four living creatures and there's a wheel in it, you know, if you've seen some of these movies, you see there's a lot of clouds with, flashing lightning within the clouds. And you know, it's very similar to what Ezekiel encountered. But from a Christian perspective, you know, when you look at the actual context of Ezekiel chapter 1, I mean, there's no way that it's a UFO or aliens. That's reading something into the text that just isn't there. In fact, Ezekiel was simply having a vision of the glory of God. That's what the text says. And that's evident for a number of reasons. First of all, the text actually states, "This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord," Ezekiel 1:28. And moreover, it's called visions. If you look through at verses 9 through 20, visions. Ezekiel, as a prophet, is having a vision talking about God and the glory of God. And then if you continue reading on in Ezekiel, you'll find out that those living creatures were angels. They weren't aliens. They were angels. And those same kinds of angels are mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. And furthermore, the message from these beings, these angels, was communicated from the sovereign Lord, not from some bunch of UFO aliens aboard a spacecraft somewhere. So again, I think that you just need to look at the context to determine what's really going on there. But you know what's interesting is that Ezekiel is not the only thing in the Bible that UFO enthusiasts like to talk about. They also like to talk about Moses, and I'm sure you've heard this.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I forgot
Moses,
about that.
Moses allegedly had an Ark of the Covenant radio that would communicate with spacecrafts up in the atmosphere. And so when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt and the Egyptians were attacking, he used that Ark of the Covenant radio to contact those spacecraft up in the atmosphere, and they swooped down and they made a pillar of fire, and that stopped the invading army. And then another spacecraft came down and turned its tailpipe there towards the Red Sea and blew a path open so the Israelites could cross. I mean, we hear this kind of stuff and we think it's absolute nonsense, but you know, about 75% of the people involved in the New Age movement believe this very kind of stuff. And so there's a lot of people out there who actually buy into these misinterpretations of the Bible.
Well, it's almost like a way for them to say, you know what, miracles are not possible, so it must be some other explanation, and UFO seems perfectly logical as an explanation for something that's miraculous, but we know miracles can't happen because God doesn't exist. So, yeah, UFOs doing that and helping out Moses makes much more sense.
Well, I mean, that's the same explanation for Jesus, like I mentioned a while ago. There are those who think that the human Mary was inseminated by an alien, and that explains his supernatural powers, like being able to walk on water and to control the weather, and you know, he was using advanced alien technology to control the weather and make the storm stop and stuff like that. And so you do have those kinds of alternative explanations out there. There's also an alternative explanation they have for the end times. In fact, they say that there is a time of cleansing that will be upon the earth one day, and they use the term tribulation to describe it. But they also talk about how prior to that time, the faithful will be evacuated off the planet by a massive swarm of UFOs and alien spacecraft. They're going to come down, take the faithful off the planet, and the word that they use to describe that event is
rapture.
The rapture.
Yep.
That's right. So it's kind of interesting that they take these biblical terms, but they pour their own meaning into these terms. It's almost like they've got their own explanation ready if and when that event actually does occur.
Yeah, and just sounds like another setup for a great deceiving to make sure that people don't really investigate too closely as to what the truth is. Now, Dr. Rhodes, let's kind of spin this a bit more practically for us as individuals. One of the things I loved about C.S. Lewis, and I can never remember the exact name of the essay that he wrote, is like Science and Rocketry or something like that was the name of the essay. But one of the things that he pointed out in that particular essay, and I don't believe C.S. Lewis actually thought there were aliens out there, but he said even if there were aliens out there, it would not affect the situation of humanity because humanity is still fallen, humanity is still in need of a savior, and humanity would still need the life and death of Jesus Christ to pay the price for their sins. So, you know, his opinion was kind of like, hey, I don't think they're out there, but, you know, if they show up, it's not going to change my faith any because I still need a savior to save me from my sins. And, you know, he had that excellent space trilogy where he kind of explored, you know, what would happen if there was a an alien race untouched by sin, and it came in contact with humanity, and some of those very interesting ideas. But I thought that was a very fascinating way to put it, because there's a lot of people who seem absolutely convinced that if they could just prove that aliens exist, then that disproves everything the Bible says.
Well, that is a very good point. And, you know, there has been a lot of discussion about the religious implications of alleged first contact. There's been discussion about how New Agers would rejoice because they already believe in space brothers anyway. Tibetan Buddhists would probably rejoice because the Dalai Lama has gone on record as saying that they believe in aliens on other planets. There's also been discussion of what if these aliens brought a different religion?
Hmm.
You know, what if they worshipped some other deity? Or what if they held to some particular religion that somebody here on Earth holds, but it's not your religion? And there's been all kinds of interesting discussion there. But be that as it may, you and I, as Christians, we base everything upon a divine revelation that came from God. It was a communication that came in 66 books, and we call it the Bible. And in that one book, that collection of books, God revealed everything that we need to know. And that book contains all the information that we need to have not only a relationship with God today, but the information that we need to live forever with Him in the future, in heaven. And so that remains the focus of our attention. I do think that Solomon said something that's very apropos here, and that is, he says that the first one to make his case seems very convincing. Until another comes forward and questions him. The point that I'm making there is simply that even though some of these UFO enthusiasts may make a case for life on other planets or, you know, UFOs flying through the sky, when you come forward and examine a lot of these claims from an apologetic standpoint and from a biblical standpoint, a lot of the arguments do crumble.
Yeah.
And that just leads me to believe that, you know, you and I as Christians, we have a faith that is based upon the facts. It's based upon evidence.
Well, the thing I really liked about that essay when I read it from C.S. Lewis, because, you know, Christianity should give you a solid foundation and a sense of security. You know, it should be something that no matter what happens around you, you always know exactly where you stand. And often with this whole idea of UFOs and aliens, you know, that adds a little uncertainty to some people's beliefs. But when I read that by C.S. Lewis, it just reminded me of how secure you can be as a Christian, because you can say, you know, regardless of what you believe and whether or not there are or there are not aliens, that doesn't change our condition any. Our condition will always be one of needing Christ. And that gave me a lot of security as I went through college and I took astronomy classes and we explored, you know, the science and all this type of stuff. And yet, you know, it always, and then they find other planets and people are like, oh, see, we're getting closer to finding them. And yet I always come back to that every time I read about another discovery and people start freaking out and thinking, oh man, what does this mean for Christianity? My response is, it means nothing because we still need Christ. So nothing changes no matter what you find.
Well, that's right. I don't think Christianity is threatened by, you know, whatever comes down the pike. You know, a lot of people seem to think that Christians are a timid bunch of people, but that's just not the case. We as Christians are not afraid to interact with the evidence. We're not afraid to interact with challenges. In fact, I believe that some of the smartest people who have ever lived on this planet have become Christians, and I'm talking about some of our leading scientists of the past who, even though they are the smartest people of their day, they believed, as you and I believe, that humanity has fallen in sin and that Jesus is the Redeemer. And so, like I said, you know, Christianity is not afraid of challenges that come down the road. But I do think that you and I should all, you know, we should all be challenged to be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. And that can only come through biblical education. The more you know your Bible, the more you will be able to provide, you know, Christian answers and responses to whatever challenge does come our way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really in your own best interest from a spiritual perspective to keep tight with the Bible and to make that something that you go into daily.
Now, do you see with, you know, again, the acceptance of the occult, we see the occult growing or at least becoming more mainstream in today's society. Do you see the possibility that this whole alien idea and invasion, abductions and all that type of stuff infiltrating our culture more and more, perhaps as an attempt to try and push Christianity out?
Well, I think it's one of many strategies that Satan could use to do that very thing. I happen to believe that Satan is a master marketer. He's not only behind some of the occultic elements of the UFO movement, but he's also behind all the false religions and cults that exist. He's got something for everyone. If you don't like one particular aspect, then he has something else that will appeal to what you desire. Do you want to become your own God? Well, he's got a cult for that.
It's called The Secret.
Pardon me?
It's called The Secret by Rhonda Bryan.
Well, yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to be infinitely wealthy? Well, you know, he's got something for that. Do you want to have a religion that denies death and dying? Well, he's got that too. My point is that he's got something that appeals to everybody, and his goal as a master marketer is to market false religious ideas so that people will be drawn away from the true Christ of Scripture. And again, the only way that you can keep yourself safe from those kind of deceptions is to make sure you know what Scripture really does teach. And that can only come from studying your Bible.
And thinking for yourself. Don't let someone else tell you what to believe about UFOs and alien abductions. Investigate it for yourself. Know why you believe what you believe. It's why we do a show like this, Raw Talk, on M88, because we want our listeners not just to be people who believe whatever they were told, but to be people who know why they believe what they believe so they can explain it in an intelligent fashion to the people they encounter. Now, Dr. Rhodes, we're just about out of time, so why don't you give everyone your website one more time, so if they got more questions about this or, you know, about the other, you cover a lot of ground in your various books, from UFOs to ghosts and psychics and then Islam in your upcoming book. So if they got more questions for you, where can they contact you?
Well, the best place is just to go to our website, which is ronrhodes.org. That's RONRHODES.org. And there's lots of free information you can download. You can sign up for a free newsletter. We don't ask for any money for it. And like I said, there's an email address if we can be of service to you. I might also mention that we do have all the books that I've written there at quite a bit of a discount. So, I mean, if you want to get those books cheap, that's a good way to do it.
So do you still have the Alien Obsession book there?
Yes,
I mean,
is that
still in print?
We still have that book.
All right. Well, we're going to have you back in about a month, not too long after 9/11, and we're going to talk a little bit about Islam. And so I'm looking forward to having you back for that conversation. Thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us tonight, sir. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. Dr. Ron Rhodes joining us, author of several books, and we'll have him back again, like I said, right around 9/11 to talk about 10 things we need to know about Islam. That should be a fascinating conversation in and of itself. And again, if you got some more questions, if you would like some follow-up, maybe you're someone who's thinking, well, now that I've heard all this stuff about UFOs and the Bible, now I kind of have to face the fact that, well, maybe I can't count on aliens disproving Christianity. Now I have to face the fact I have to decide what to do with Christ myself. Well, you know, we'd love to talk to you about that. If you are someone who's searching for answers, and perhaps we're searching for answers among the stars, but now realize the answers aren't going to come from the stars. They're going to come from the Bible. We'd love to help you out with that and show you why Jesus Christ is the answer for your peace, for your security, for your eternity, for your life, and why aliens are not. If you got more questions along those lines, if you got more questions about how Jesus Christ can change your life and change it for all of eternity, then please send us an email, studio@m88.org. Don't wait. You know, I'm not saying that aliens are going to invade anytime soon to destroy the planet, but the fact of the matter is time is running out, not because we're all going to be swept away by an alien purge, but because sooner or later history will end, Jesus Christ will return to judge this earth, and you'll either be for him or against him. And if you say, I was waiting to see if the alien thing panned out, that's not going to be a good enough answer. So if you got more questions along those lines, certainly visit Ron Rhodes' website, ronrhodes.org, or give us send us an email, studio@m88.org. Well, next week on Raw Talk should be an interesting conversation as we talk about racism in America and how that affects homeland security. We're going to be talking with our good friend Richard Abanis again, and we'll be covering that next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, as I mentioned with Ron, The Secret is and it's a phenomenon that's gained some traction all of its own. And we're going to tell you what The Secret is about The Secret on August 12th. So some great shows coming up here on Raw Talk to challenge you, encourage you, and most of all, get you to think, to know why you believe what you believe. So thanks for joining me tonight here on Raw Talk. I hope you have a shway week in the Lord.